Well, it's a blessing to be back here with you again. As I said, my name is James Pridgen, and my family and I are missionaries in South Africa. My wife's over here, and our oldest daughter, Jennifer, and our other four kids are in class somewhere around here. I'm not sure where. But we do thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, also. As this year, and that you're celebrating your 40th year this month, and your anniversary month, and appreciate that and your faithfulness here, and also for your pastor and his wife. It's amazing, you know, many churches, the pastors change every 2 to 5 years sometimes. And your pastor has been faithfully serving here, and appreciate that, and for everyone here as well. And here in a few moments, we'll be seeing the video. And as Pastor was saying, for those who are given to the missions and things, this is what the Bible talks about fruit added to your account. These are folks that you've helped us to reach with the gospel, and I appreciate that. And they can't be here today with us, of course, and so on their behalf, I'd like to thank you also. I believe in heaven. There's a song I heard one day about how in heaven, one day they'll be able to thank you for giving to the Lord. And I believe that will be true as we get to heaven and get to be together one day. But as you see, this will be folks that have been saved. Some different ministries have been started there. And so what we'll go ahead and do, we'll go and start off the video, and then I'll share some with you from the Word of God as well, and some more about the country of Uganda through the message this morning. Let's go ahead and we'll show the video at this time. So we're going to be taking our Bibles and going to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4. The Lord has been good to us there in Uganda. And actually be praying this morning, though, for the safety of those there. I know I was watching the news and actually reading up on it some about what was happening there in Kenya. Kenya is right next door to us, about the terrorists who attacked that mall that's over there and killing many people and still holding some hostage. That's something that you never know may happen. You know, people ask us about Uganda and how things are. And Uganda is one of the more stable countries in Africa. But, you know, that could change tomorrow. You know, you never know in some countries how things will go. One of the blessings where we are is I believe there is more security. In Kenya, they don't let their security people, they have security companies, to have weapons and things. And so you have security people at the malls, for example, without guns. And that didn't help them much the other day. Whereas in Uganda, all the security people have weapons, and so that gives the people more safety, more protection, and so it is a little bit more stable there in Uganda, but we do ask you for your prayers that the Lord will continue to give our folks their safety and also the other missionaries. Last time we were on furlough, they had a terrorist attack in Uganda, and this time they're on furlough, they're having one there in Kenya, so do be praying for the folks that are over there, if you will. Where we are, we're in the capital city of Kampala. It's a city of about 3.5 million people, and they say if you draw a 60-mile circle around where we are, there's probably anywhere from 10 to 15 million people in that area. And so there's many opportunities in reaching folks with the gospel, and the Lord has given us many opportunities already, but it seems sometimes there's more opportunities than you have time to take advantage of. And we're working there in the capital training folks, and as you saw in the video with the Christian school and things and also the Bible college. Let's go ahead and we'll share more with you in the message now, but as we look to Philippians chapter 4, I'll read verse 17 to start off with. It says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 17, not because I desire a gift. Let's go and stand together. Philippians chapter 4, verse 17. It says here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Let's go and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we love you. Thank you for the privilege of being here in church this morning. Lord, I thank you for the church and for celebrating now 40 years of faithfulness. I thank you for that. And I ask, Lord, that you give them many more wonderful years to come, Lord, and many folks saved and baptized and continue to work in a great way through the ministries here. Dear Lord, I ask that you bless the message now this morning. Open our hearts. Lord, help us to not only listen, but to allow it to change us, Lord, and draw us closer to you. We ask if there's anyone here that's not saved today, that also they'll trust you as their Savior. We thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So be seated. This morning, I want to talk about the Uganda Harvest Report. Of course, the harvest is talking about those who are lost in the world, and we're looking here specifically at Uganda. As your pastor mentioned this morning, our desire is to give a report this morning about the ministry there and about what the Lord's been doing, but also to present a challenge here from the Word of God as well. And so, as we see here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 17, where it says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. This is Apostle Paul. And starting in verse 16, where we said, for even Thessalonica is sent once and again into my necessity. Were the church in Philippi given to the missionary or to the Apostle Paul as he traveled and preached in different places and as is here and preaching here? And so the first thing, number one, I want us to look at is your investment. What you saw this morning was the investment that you've made in the ministries there in the country of Uganda. As it talks about fruit added to your account, the Bible talks about laying up treasure in heaven. And so those who are given to missions, that is treasure that you've laid up in heaven. Those are folks that you've helped us to reach with the gospel. I was just in a missions conference a few weeks ago, and when the pastor was there, was talking about a story, and he said it was a true story about what had happened many years ago. He talked about how there's a missionary that was preaching in a church, and there's a young child there that gave the missionary a dime. He gave him up to the missionary, gave him a dime, and the missionary just thought at first, well, that's a cute little thing, and put it in his pocket, and then later talked about how the Lord convicted his heart. And he said he took that money and went out and bought one of these little, like a Gideon New Testament type Bibles. He found one for 10 cents and he bought that. And he said he went to the mission field. There's a young girl that got saved, and he gave that little New Testament to that girl. And he said that girl grew up to be a missionary and reached many other people with the gospel. And he's talking about how all of us need to do our part in missions. You know, sometimes people think, well, I would give to missions, but I don't have that much to give. It's not necessarily the amount that we need to be looking at, but what God puts upon our heart. Like that little girl, she just had a dime, and that's what she gave, and God used that to reach other people with the gospel. I believe that children and youth and adults and everyone should be involved in missions. It doesn't matter who you are or what age you may be, and as parents, we are to train up our children the way they should go. That's what the Bible teaches. As a matter of fact, if you read from the book of Proverbs this morning, you see that verse. And it talks about those things, and that's one of the things that we work with our children about. We teach our children about tithing. We also teach them about giving to missions, because it's a command to every believer to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so we see here about the investment that's made and about how that we're laying up that treasure in heaven. And as I think of the folks that were saved there, I enjoy watching the video. I always laugh a little bit, though, when I think of one of my kids, one of my sons. We're sitting in church one day after we just got back on this furlough, and we've been to probably about five or six different churches. And we put the video on again, and he's sitting beside my wife. My wife told me about this later. He's like, this one again? Can't we watch another one? You know, he's seen the same video five times in a row. And so, but I still enjoy it every time as I see the folks there, the good friends now, very good friends of ours, of course, but folks that we've had the privilege of leading to the Lord, and now they're leading other people to the Lord. And it's always a blessing to me to watch that and to think of the people who have been saved and the lives have been changed. I know I'll share just a few stories here with you very quickly about some of those folks. I think one of Brother Sadok, you saw him here in the video this morning. Brother Sadok is also one of the pastors, and so you saw Brother Sadok is actually from Rwanda. He's not from Uganda. Some of you might remember the genocide that happened several years back in Rwanda. Brother Sadok was there during that time, and that's why he came to Uganda. He came as a refugee, trying to escape that time there because they were trying to kill him as well. He is from the tribe that was being slaughtered. And he talked about that to me one day. He got saved and he joined the Bible college, and one day he didn't come out of the dormitory. And so I went in there to find out what's wrong. I asked him if he was sick. He said, no. He said, Pastor, he said, my heart is very heavy. He said, I'm so overcome right now. I feel like I can't even move. And I began talking to him, and he began telling me little by little about the story, about what had happened. And he talked about how that he and his brother were trying to escape during that time, and they're trying to run down to a river so they could jump in that river and try to hide from those people. And they said before he got to that river, they shot and killed his brother right beside him. And that was the day, that was the anniversary day of the day that his brother had died. And he was just laying in the bed and just thinking about that time, just overcome with grief. And he talked about how he jumped in that water, and for several hours he watched the feet of those men. He's hiding under some tree roots and things in the riverbank. And he said he just watched the feet of those men walking back and forth for about 2 hours looking for him to kill him. Not because he committed a crime or done something wrong, but because he's from a different tribe. And so he came up to Uganda and he got saved, and now he started training as a pastor. And I was able to counsel with him for several months actually about those things and to help him to overcome that to where he can function normally even on that day now. And he graduated from the Bible college, and I was hoping to stay there longer with us, but he said, God's put on my heart, he said, I need to go back to my country. He said, because we don't have any churches like this here. There's one church there at that time in the capital city, one independent Baptist church, that was only one. And he said, Pastor, I have to go and reach my people. And I told him, I said, Brother Sadok, I said, there's one thing you need to think about. I said, you know, you don't know who it was that was trying to kill you. You don't know who it was that shot and killed your brother, but you know the tribe they're from. And I told him, you're going to meet those people from that tribe when you go back to the capital city. And I said, it's going to be very difficult for you to reach them with the gospel if there's any anger or bitterness in your heart. Because, see, as he's talking to these people from this other tribe, he could be talking to the very person that shot and killed his brother. He could be talking to the one of the people that were trying to kill him. And I said, if there's anger or bitterness in your heart, it's going to hurt you in the ministry. And he looked at me very seriously and he said, Pastor, that's something I've been thinking about. He said, Pastor, it doesn't matter. He said, all people need to be saved. Well, you know, sometimes we go through hardships. And we think, well, I don't know if I can witness. Well, I don't know if I can go out. It might be embarrassing. It might be difficult. It might have hardships. But you know, I've never faced hardships like he has. And many others there today. And I think, you know, if they can be a faithful witness, I think I can also. But you know, that's one of the men that you've helped to reach with the gospel. That's part of the fruit that's been added to your account. And he's down there in Rwanda right now, helping another missionary right now and establishing that church and making plans soon to go out and start a church on his own. And it's a blessing to see how God has worked in his life and helped him to overcome those problems. You know, I sometimes think it'd be such a tragedy for people to go through such hardships in life and then to die never having heard the gospel. What a tragedy it would be to go through such hardships and then die without the Savior and not be able to be in heaven. I think of another lady also, you saw her in the video this morning. You wouldn't be able to notice who she was by just mentioning her, of course. But this lady, she doesn't have arms from right here at the elbows. She just got saved recently before we left. And she told her story to the folks at the church. And she was having a very difficult time. One day her husband came home and taken a machete and killed two of her children right in front of her. And tried to kill her also. But somehow she survived, but he cut off both of her arms. And she was living a very difficult life. And then she met one of our soul winners out on soul winning. And she got saved. And she's in church now. She has a beautiful smile now because she has a Savior in her heart. And it's something that's definitely changed her life as well. And there's many folks. The folks you saw in the video this morning are folks who have been saved through the ministries there. Are folks who have been saved because of the gift that you've given to help in reaching other people with the gospel. It's fruit that's been added to your account. And I want to thank you for that. I wish some of them were here today to thank you themselves for your faithfulness to the Lord and for your giving as well. And I encourage you, if you're not giving to missions, you ought to do that now. You ought to start today. Because I know there's many other missionaries out there right now who are desiring to go to other fields as well and to preach the gospel. And it's been a blessing. We've not only been able to reach there in Uganda, but also now Brother Sadok is in Rwanda. And several years back, I believe I probably shared with you some years ago about there in Sudan. And about the need that's there and about how that God allowed me to go up several times to South Sudan. And we're able to show a video now. There's missionaries there and there's churches being started in South Sudan. And that's a blessing. There's such hardships that have been in that country as well. But now the Lord has been blessing those areas. So the first thing I wanted to talk about was the investment that you've made also now. Look in the book of John chapter 4. Book of John chapter 4. Also, there's the work. In John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Let's begin at verse 34. It says, Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Let me just stop there for just a moment. If God's called you to do something, he's called you to finish it. I tell you, I appreciate your pastor 40 years of faithfulness. We need to be faithful. When God's called us, we need to be faithful. If God called you as a pastor, if God's called you as a missionary, whatever God's called you to do, and by the way, God's called all of us as soul winner, we need to be faithful in what we do. Verse 35 now. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, are ready to harvest. I tell you, there's a great work that needs to be done. There in Uganda, it's ready for the harvest time. I tell you right now, there's 3 folks I know of right now who said, Pastor, we'll give you free land if you'll come start a church in the area. I've told some of them, I can train you how to do it, but I can't go. I'm already here doing the work here. And that's what we're doing in the capital city, is training the national pastors to go out and to start churches in other areas. The national language in Uganda is English, but there's over 60 different tribal languages. And so it's a challenge learning that many languages, and it's a challenge that I don't think I'm ready to meet myself. Not only the different languages, but the different cultures as well. Some are very different from others. And so as we've been able to reach these young people in the capital city and they go back to the home areas, they already know their language, they know their culture, and they're much more effective in reaching their own people with the gospel in that way. And so I ask you to continue to be praying for the work that is there. There's so many opportunities. One of the new ministries that we're doing now also, not in a video, but going to the different high schools. We have another person working with us there, and he started that ministry there in the church. And some of the church folks going out and helping in that ministry. And it's a blessing that you can preach in the high schools there. And we've seen many, many young people getting saved in the different high schools that are there. And that's been a tremendous blessing to me. Also, some of the pastors now, I just heard one of our pastors is starting another Thursday night Bible study there in the capital city. Just going on his own. I've not had anything to do with it. He's studying on his own. And so that's been a blessing. And seeing the work as God has been blessing has just been tremendous. But there's still much more work that needs to be done. You know, there's just this past year in December, my mom and dad came to visit us there in Uganda, and that was a blessing. And as they came over, we got a message from one of the villagers there by a man by the name of Francis. Francis is Pastor Amos' father-in-law. And Francis sent us a message, and he said, "Brother James," he said, "I'm ready. Can you come now?" And what he's saying is that he's ready to get saved. For 4 years, on Wednesday night in church, his daughter had been raising her hand in church saying, "Pray for my dad. He's not saved." And for 4 years, she'd been praying that and asking us to pray for that same request. And, you know, there's times looking at her, I could tell she's getting discouraged sometimes. And I talk to her sometimes and tell her, "Let's just keep praying. Let's keep talking to him. Let's just keep praying and talking to him." And she'd get discouraged sometimes, but she kept asking us to pray for her dad. And then we got that message from the village saying, "Come and I'm ready." We went out there. It's about a 3-hour drive one way. And driving there 3 hours is not the same as driving here. I mean, it's like a washboard. We're just going up and down for a couple hours and get on the dirt roads there. And so you get pretty shook up as you go out that way. And I think part of my car is still on that road right now. But we got out there, and it kind of reminded me of the story of Cornelius, because he had his family gathered together, and he also had several friends together there. And he had prepared a meal, so he had us come in and have a meal there. And I asked my dad to talk to him. My dad and he were about the same age. And so my dad started talking to Francis. And now you could tell, it's like the Holy Spirit, you could tell was working on him. And as he was talking, and then as he got to the end, though, Francis said, you know, "This is something I want." He said, "I know it's something that I need," but he said, "but I'm just not sure if I'm really ready yet." He said, "I thought it was, but I'm not sure." My dad looked at me, and so I started talking to Francis. And I said, "Francis," he said, "you know, here in our culture," I said, "when we come to the village, we always bring a gift. And it is something small like sugar or salt or some other thing." And I said, "Francis, in my car, I have a gift for you." And I said, "Now, before I leave," I said, "I'm going to bring you that gift." And I said, "Now, when I bring you that gift, are you going to tell me, 'No, I don't want it'?" He looked at me and said, "Pastor," he said, "I could not do that to you." I said, "Well, why not?" He said, "Pastor, that would be very hostile." He said, "You're my friend. I cannot do that to you." And I told him, I said, "Francis, we've come here today to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ." And I said, "And Jesus is in your home right now, knocking on your heart's door." And I said, "And is offering to you the gift of eternal life. And you're saying no." And boy, he really looked shocked then. And he said, "Pastor," he said, "I can't do that." And he bowed his head and trusted Christ as a Savior that day. His family professed Christ as a Savior already. The rest of them did, and they're rejoicing. But then he had two friends who were there. One was a Seventh-day Adventist preacher, and he got saved. That was a blessing. The other one was a police commander for that area. And this is a big man. His shoulders are probably about that wide. He's a tall man. And we're sitting at the table, and he had tears in his eyes, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "all my life I've prayed to idols." You know, the other religions have saints that they pray to or through, they say. He said, "All my life I've prayed to idols." And he said, "I've always known it was wrong. But I never knew anything different." And he trusted Christ as a Savior. But you know, sometimes as I think about the work and about the harvest, I think, I wonder how many more people are out there just like him. They have a religion, but they've never heard the truth. And in their heart, they know there's something more. But no one's ever handed them a gospel tract. No one's ever knocked on their door, invited them to church, or asked them if they're saved and shown them from the Bible how they could be saved. No, there's a great work that still needs to be done in Uganda and in Sudan and in Rwanda. But, you know, the harvest is not just on the foreign field. It's right here in Council Bluffs also. There's probably people right here in our own city today who if someone would invite them to church, they'd come. Oh, there's some who won't, but there are some who will. There are some who will get saved if we just go and share with them the love of God. The last one this morning. We see the investment, the work, and also the need. In Matthew, look over in Matthew very quickly. In Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Verses 37 and 38. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send forth the laborers into his harvest. Boy, there's a great need. We need more missionaries today. Not only do we need more missionaries, but we need to be praying for more laborers on the mission field, more of the nationals to stand up and also answer the call to preach, more young men to be serious in their service to God. We have several who have been trained, several more who are in training right now. But we need to be praying for not only your missionaries, but for the ones you're ministering to, that will have more people answer the call of God to preach. Just like here in the States, there's many who don't answer that call. But we need to be praying for the need that's there. Praying for more laborers. And by the way, don't just pray for more laborers, but be a laborer. That doesn't mean you have to be a pastor. You can just be a soul winner in your church and faithfully tell others about Christ. We need to pray for more laborers, but also pray for the laborers you already have. There in Uganda this past term, we had a little bit of a difficult time. We had a man there in the church who was trying to steal the land for the church. And my friends in government estimate he probably spent about $30,000 to $40,000, American dollars, bribing different government officials to try to cause trouble for us. He spent about $10,000 and gave it to some people, and then one Tuesday, I was teaching a Bible lesson in our Bible college there, and immigration came and took off with me. And they were going to illegally deport me that day, but the Lord intervened. I tell you, it's amazing to see what the Lord did that day. We don't have time to go into all the details today. It takes too long. But it's amazing to see what God did, but they tried to illegally deport me on Tuesday. On Wednesday, those same people sent a letter to the church saying, we're going to shut you down. You can't be here. Leave. They thought I'd be out the country by then. On Thursday, his lawyer said, sent paperwork to the church saying, we're taking over the land, we're coming on by force, basically. And so, but God intervened because of prayer. Because folks are praying for us. And you never know what may happen on the mission field. Like with us, by the time you get the prayer letter, it's happened already. You need to always be praying for the missionaries. Like what happened in Kenya. You never know when those things may happen. You need to be praying for the laborers already. They're not only praying for your missionaries, but praying for your pastor and for others. And the last thing, in verse 18, Philippians chapter 4, in verse 18, it says, but I have on abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which are sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Verse 19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We need to pray, and also we need to give as well. And I want to thank those of you who have been giving. It's been a wonderful blessing to be able to represent your church there in Uganda and to be able to labor together and reaching those precious people with the gospel. And I thank you for your faithfulness here as well. And so let us not forget these things. And let us continue to be faithful. And maybe there's someone here this morning that God has spoken to your heart. Maybe there's someone that you know that's not saved and you need to pray for. Or maybe that you need to invite to church or share the gospel with. Maybe you're not giving to missions or not giving your tithe and need to start doing that. Or maybe you just need to be more faithful in some other area in your life. I pray that God will speak to your heart this morning. Let's go and pray. Dear Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness to us. Dear Father, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, I know you've spoken to mine, dear Father, and I pray that you'll speak to each one of our hearts. Help us to be a faithful witness here at home. Help us to give so others can go throughout the world and reach others with the gospel. Dear Father, we ask you to bless the coming service which is about to come now. Dear Father, we ask that you bless the pastors who are not feeling well this morning to strengthen them today. Lord, also we ask that you bless the refreshments we're about to have. We ask you to bless in all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.